Revelation chapter 22. Had a lot of hard, deep, complicated stuff preached at you all through the meetings, and sometimes Sunday nights that I preach, sometimes things get kind of, intense and intricate and so on. And I for whatever reason, was not in the kind of frame to do that tonight. Revelation chapter 22. Notice at the end of the chapter and the end of the book, for that matter, verse 18. Notice, for I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add to these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Now, Father, we come here to tonight to the end of the book. And, Lord, there's plainly a lot left that's hanging out after God has finished speaking and has closed the canon of what he was going to say, Lord, in the book. And, Father, with the closing echoes of what's said there, Father, we pray that we might hang our hopes where you left off, and we know that the ending promise was that Jesus Christ was coming back and soon, and that's where our hopes still abide. Our church is Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and that's really what we stand here for. And so we come to you tonight and pray you might refresh our visions regarding this matter, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you know, verse 20, he which testifieth these things, that's the Lord Jesus Christ plainly, saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. And then apparently John steps in and says, even so come, Lord Jesus. That's the name of the message this tonight is, even so come, Lord Jesus. Like I said, I didn't particularly feel like preaching a lot of devotional stuff tonight and getting deep and trying to haggle about sin and all that. You see in this passage here that John, John got dragged into this. John's dragged off onto the Isle of Patmos and as a Roman prisoner and didn't particularly desire to be there. And in the process, he winds up seeing the culmination of all things, winds up seeing things and hearing things that were not lawful for him to write, that the Holy Spirit, that God would not allow him to even write down things that he saw and heard. And, man, by the time the thing is over with, by the time he's done writing the 22 chapters of the book of Revelation, he's seen enough blood and plagues and drought and death and fire and brimstone and all and the curses and condemnation and hellfire and damnation. And, boy, he has seen enough to fuel 10,000 nightmares, you know. And so along comes the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord dumps all that on him. Along comes the Lord Jesus Christ and says, surely I come quickly, amen. And his response to that is, even so come, Lord Jesus. He said, that'd be fine with me. You just come right ahead. You know, in Acts chapter 1, the disciples are standing there. They've finally gotten straight. The Lord Jesus Christ not only died, but is risen from the dead. And there he stands, takes them out on a high mountain apart, and begins to ascend up into heaven. And he's gone again, you know. And they're standing there with their mouths wide open, looking up into the sky, and an angel appears and says, what are you guys standing around here looking up in the sky for? He says, this same Jesus whom you saw leave is going to come again in like manner. He said, so, you know, go back and get busy. And the Bible says that after those fellows went back in Luke chapter 24, the Bible says that they went back there and they returned to that city with great joy. You know why they returned back there with great joy? They returned back there with great joy because they knew that Jesus Christ was coming back. You know, they went back there because they'd finally seen him again, and now he's gone again, and they were tempted to be sad, but he said, don't worry, he's coming back. Let me ask you a question. What kind of power is it that a mortal man would have, that a bunch of people would obviously, you know, when somebody that's mortal among us dies, we miss them and we long to see them again. But what kind of man must it be that that somebody would, after he's gone, and after the promise of seeing him again, in fact, of him coming back and getting us again, would fuel the next 2,000 years of hope for that group of people. That's what I'm talking about in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, folks, we have got, depending on what kind of phase we're going through, we either have inflation or deflation. We either have depression or recession. We either have global warming or we're coming up on another ice age. You know, that's one thing after another. We either have AIDS rampaging through Europe or tsunamis hitting, you know, the East. It's one thing after another. We constantly hear wars, rumors of wars, pestilences. There are new viruses. There are new bacteria. There are new things being found. So I'll tell you this. I'll prophesy about this. We're always being told what the next great thing is that's going to happen. If it's not mad cow disease, we're going to get hit by an asteroid and all be destroyed. And if you live long enough, eventually the universe is in an expansion mode and eventually it's going to crash back in on itself like a giant rubber band. Can I just prophesy for you a moment? The next great thing that's going to happen of any import is that Jesus Christ is coming back. Okay? I don't care about any tsunamis. I don't care if another New Orleans gets wiped out. In fact, I don't care if New Orleans gets wiped out again. The next thing of any importance in this world that's going to happen is that Jesus Christ is going to come back. All these things that people are worried about are going to have to take a back seat for a little while as a whole bunch of us disappear and a whole bunch of other people disappear out of graves where they've lain for the last 2,000 years. I don't know exactly what the world's going to be like when we leave. I think a whole bunch of people are going to be glad we're gone, probably. But, you know, with all of the stink that's made over, you know, a hiker that gets lost or, you know, a kid that disappears or a person that's gone, you know, that kind of thing, I have to imagine that a few million people disappearing out of the population of the earth, I have to think that it would make some sort of impact on folks. You would have to think that. Now, folks, I just want to say that that Jesus Christ is coming back again. And I want you to know that I'm one of those that's glad that Jesus Christ is going to come back again. I don't know about you, but I want Jesus Christ to come back again. There was a day I can honestly say that I had mixed emotions. I was young, I was strong, and I had things I wanted to do. Well, I was an idiot. Okay? Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, there are, you realize there are millions of born-again people standing on the earth right now, and there are millions more in the grave, and I don't know exactly how many millions of them, but the Bible says that one day that we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with the Lord in the air. We're going to be instantly changed. We're going to have this mortal put on immortality, and we're going to have this this corruptible put on incorruption, and they which are dead shall rise up just in front of us, and then we're going to rise to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that starts a sequence of events down here on earth. But for us, ladies and gentlemen, it's over. I don't mean it's over in the sense that you're not going to live anymore or that there's never anything else. There's another stage or anything. I know there's the judgment seat of Christ and all those things. But ladies and gentlemen, whenever Jesus Christ comes back, our problems are going to be over. You understand? So I want to preach a little while tonight on even so come, Lord Jesus. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come. And then when Jesus in verse 20 says, surely I come quickly, then John replies, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Everybody is in Revelation chapter 22 is all for Jesus Christ coming back again. And I don't think that all Christians feel that way, and I'm sure that the rest of the world doesn't feel that way. So maybe somebody will ask, well, why exactly is it that I should want him to come back? So I'll be happy to answer that for you. There's a few single words I'd like to mention to you. And, you know, this may come out as nothing more than a gripe session. I'm not ready to blow my brains out, folks, or anything like that. I'm not ready to lay down the Bible or to lay down the armor and to quit or anything like that. Don't have any intention to do it. I'm not calling out the devil. I'm not calling out the Lord. I don't intend to do that. But once in a while, I just want to let you know what I'm not going to miss when we get out of here. First of all, I'll tell you one reason why that I'm looking forward to Jesus Christ coming back. And one of the reasons I'm looking forward to Jesus Christ coming back is one word, righteousness. Okay? There is very little regard for righteousness in this world. It's not just this country. In fact, there may be more regard for righteousness in this country than any other country you'd go to. There is very little regard for righteousness, though, even in this country. You know, by the time you take a tour through Hollywood and through the media and news and entertainment and comedians and a little bit of everything else, you realize that this is a wicked world that we live in. And, you know, folks, if you're saved, and no matter how real the carnal nature is to you, if you're saved, there's a part of you that's a new nature. There's part of you that's a new man. And there's a part of you that does long for things to be made right. There's a part of you that does have a taste for righteousness, that does have a desire to see things made right. There's a part of you that appreciates purity. Folks, there are lost people in the world that now recognize that our country is going downhill and going to hell in a handbasket, to use a term. You know, there are guys on the radio and in newspapers and journalists and bloggers and stuff like that that are relatively well known across the country, and they're probably not even saved or anything. And what they're trying to stand up for is basic morality and basic spirituality and basic conservative values. And, you know, I personally think that they're trying to bail out the Titanic with a teacup. But I appreciate what they're doing. I'm saying, folks, even lost people recognize that we're going to hell, that things are going downhill, it's all going to the devil and it's all going to the flesh. They even recognize that, and I'm sorry that it's so, but I can tell you this, I'm not going to give up, I'm not going to lay down. I'm not among those that say, let's just all give up and vote for Hillary. Maybe we can speed up the process. I'm not going to say that. But I will say this. Nothing is going to get fixed until Jesus Christ comes back. Jesus Christ is the fix for what's wrong. And what's wrong is sin. And sin can't be made right without righteousness. And I'm telling you what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to getting out of here. I have to be careful. I love my disappearing more than I love His appearing. And there might be something wrong with that, although I'll take it. Okay, but I can tell you this, that when Jesus Christ comes back, what I am looking forward to is righteousness. Not that I'm a supremely righteous guy or anything like that, but I am tired of the effects. I am tired of the actions that it takes. I am tired of the vigil. I'm tired of having to stand guard all the time over me. I'm tired of having to watch my thoughts. I'm tired of having to watch my eyes. I'm tired of having to just monitor myself all the time. And then I'm tired of having to monitor other people. I'm tired of having to keep up a guard all the time. I'm tired of having to keep up a sentry all the time. I'm tired of having to worry about my family all the time. And you know why we have to worry? Because it's sin. Because there's sin all about. Everybody not only is getting worked on from outside, we're all eaten up from inside. There's only one thing that's ever going to fix that thing, and that is Jesus Christ coming back and allowing this mortal to put on immortality. You know what I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to the day when I do not have to watch for anything anymore. I'm looking forward to that day. I am tired. You know, I remember when I was still working full time and stuff, I got really, really wore out with all going to work and having to be on my guard at the office all day long because I was the office oddball that wouldn't laugh at, you know, and so they took it as a challenge. And so what I heard all day long were funny, dirty jokes. But I couldn't afford to laugh. I couldn't afford to smile. When somebody said, hey, look, I couldn't afford to look because they knew what I was. You know, I'm looking forward to the day that I don't have to watch out for that kind of stuff, you know. I'm tired of having to beware of my own friends. I'm tired of always being on guard. I'm tired of always expecting a kidney punch from the world. I'm tired of always worrying about whether I've stricken the right balance. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord. I'm tired of always having to be on guard. Now, you know, if I do this, I may be going too far. But if I don't do that, then I probably haven't gone far enough. Did I speak up enough for the Lord? Man, was I too hard on him? You know, I am tired of that stuff. I'm looking forward to the day that I get to spit the a bit out of my mouth, and that anything I look at will be right, and anything I think will be right, and I can think about it for as long as I want to think about it. I can look at what I want to look at, all because in that day, there will be no temptation. All will be right. All will be pure. We will be surrounded by righteousness. I'm looking forward to that. I'm tired of seeing people that I love battle sin. I'm tired of watching kids. You know, it was a novelty for a while. I'm tired of watching each generation of kids come up, have to go through the same sequence of battles and basically fail and then basically have to get right or not get right. And then, you know, subsequent actions happen and things progress and all. And, you know, it's kind of it's scary at first and then it's a novelty for a while, but there's nothing novel about it anymore. It's just the same old sinful human nature and its failings and then a little victory and then another failing and then another couple of victories. And it's one step forward and two steps back. And then a couple times it's two steps forward and one step back. But it's just it's the same thing over and over. Nothing ever changes. I'll be glad when we get to change the pace. All right. I'm tired of the world, the flesh and the devil seeming to always have an upper hand. I am tired of the world airing its dirty laundry all the time. I'm tired of knowing that we are going to go into a political season now, and guess what we're going to get to hear? We're going to get to hear all the slime out of all these people's private lives dragged across the news media. We won't be able to get away from it. I'm tired of that stuff. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of facing the tangle that sin makes, not only in my own life, but in other people's lives. Now, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, one of these days, Jesus Christ is going to come and we're going to all get to spit the reins out. And whatever self-control and self-discipline and character that you have, that you've had to clamp down and you've got yourself, you know, buttoned down and screwed down pretty tight to control your temper and to control your mouth and to control your sense of humor and to control this and to control that. And you watch your eyes and you watch your thought. And you don't go in that corner of the store and so on and so forth. One of these days, you won't have to worry about a single thing like that. Well, that's going to be a blessing. Even so, come Lord Jesus, one of these days, for righteousness sake, I'm going to enjoy that. I'm going to enjoy that a lot. You know, folks, there's coming a day when you get out of here that you will have suffered your final failure. You'll have suffered your final sickness, your final illness, your final pain. Because when righteousness is established, everything's made right. You know, there's coming a day that you will no longer have to worry about your family. You'll no longer have to worry about your children. You will no longer have to worry about your friends. You will no longer have to watch your mouth. You will no longer have to worry about where your mind might stop and dwell. You're going to get to say goodbye to sin. And I don't know about you, but it's going to take me a long gigasecond, a long emotional gigasecond to say goodbye. On the other hand, maybe I'll try to kick it as it goes by, get one last lick in. But, you know, I'm looking forward to Jesus Christ coming back for righteousness' sake. Okay, I'll tell you something else. Look into Acts chapter 3 for a second. We were in Acts 3 earlier this morning in Sunday school. But in Acts chapter 3, verse 21, I realize we talked about this morning in Acts, and so I'm not going to go through a long explanation, but it's talking about the second coming of Christ. And in verse 21, let's look at verse 20. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets, since the world began. It says there, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. You know, one of the things that I'm looking forward to when Jesus Christ comes back and not only gets us out of here, but comes, I'm looking forward to the restitution part. I don't mean getting what I deserve in either meaning. I'm talking about, the rapture begins an entire series of events which the world has long needed. The Lord Jesus Christ comes back, gets us out of here. Then there's a long, horrible 7-year tribulation. And then the Lord Jesus Christ comes back at the actual second advent of Christ, walks through Armageddon, crashes through, and establishes His kingdom, right? But, I mean, the rapture is the thing that starts the avalanche of the restitution of all things, correct? And that being said, that another way of saying that is one day Jesus Christ is going to come back and clean house. Now, you know what? I don't have any particular vengeful notions about any particular person. I can say that, Muslims are not my favorite people in the world. Sodomites are not my favorite people in the world. But even as I stand here, I'm not ready to nuke them, personally. All right? But I will tell you this. I'm just telling you that because, I mean, I'm supposed to be a Christian. I'm supposed to have charity and all those things. And I want you to understand that I do. I want you to understand I don't hate anybody. I don't want to kill anybody or anything like that. But I am looking forward to Jesus Christ getting His own. And I am looking forward to Jesus Christ coming back. And a lot of people have been getting by and getting away with a lot of things for a lot of years. And I personally hold, I don't have any revenge in my own heart. I don't want God to kill. I don't have any particular person I want God to kill. Except, well, anyway. Not many people that I want God to kill. I'm just kidding. But I can tell you this. It will be a good day when God cleans house. And there's coming a day. I mean, folks, I am tired of the free. Aren't you tired of seeing people get by with stuff? Once in a while, you get a newspaper shot or whatever, depending on how immersed you are in the media, of stuff that people pull at gay parades. You get to see footage of some things that Muslims do in their little sequestered villas and towns when they get all worked up and start firing off their AKs into the air. Okay, they've been getting away with a lot of stuff for a lot of years. There are people that smuggle enough dope, into this country every day to kill, 20 herds of elephants. Okay? And in the meantime, they're addicting thousands and thousands of people and basically driving our population into the ground. I'm looking forward to the day that stuff's made right. People have for a long time been getting away with a lot of things and a lot of things that are wrong. A lot of things. I mean, there's been sin that has been hidden that maybe even nobody knows about. The wicked have been getting away with it for a long, long time. I don't know about you. I'm tired of being stolen from. As an American, you realize they take money out of your pocket every paycheck. You never even say they steal from you. I am tired of being lied to. You're lied to every single day. You realize, folks, that there are times that you can get, and some of you have know what this is like, you can get entangled in the justice system or various even other systems in this country in which, I personally think that if the guy that was the head of the IRS, I think that if I could go punch him in the mouth, we could get our problems settled. But you'll never get to punch the guy in the mouth that'll wind up putting you in jail at the IRS. You're going to just fight the peons. You can never get to the guy that's the problem. And a lot of this world is like that. You're never going to really get your hands around the throat of the guy that's causing you real problems. But one day Jesus Christ will. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking forward to the day when they cease to lie to me, when people cease to be broken by sin and by deceit and quit wallowing in sin and getting by with sin. I mean, I know that you can think of people that have done it. It seems like some people can't get away with anything. And on the other hand, it seems like other people get away with everything. Well, one day, I just want to say that all that's going to end. I'm tired of the wicked getting away with things. But I'm ready for Jesus Christ to get His. And one of the things I'm looking forward to and getting the ball rolling and the ball starts rolling at the rapture is that things in this world will start being made right. Okay? I want to say something else. Not only righteousness, not only restitution, but look in Romans chapter 8. Look in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And notice down in verse 22. Romans 8:22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, which we are, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. I wanted you to see the word redemption. People say, why do you really, what is it that you want Jesus Christ to come back for? I want Jesus Christ to come back and establish righteousness. Okay? I want Jesus Christ to come back and make restitution for all the wrongs that have been wronged and finally get it set right. I'm looking forward to the redemption. Now, my soul's already been redeemed. All right? But the Bible talks about there the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Bible says that you are bought with a price. The Bible says that your soul and your spirit has been redeemed, that your sins have been paid for, and there's one part of you that's left here that has not yet been redeemed, and that is your body. That's where all your problems lie. I mean, it's not just what happens within the body, but you know, it's the old junker that's been bought to be renovated, but it's still sitting in the junkyard, just an old beat up junker. Well, folks, one of these days, now I'm looking forward to, are you tired of being corrupt? Are you tired of having a dirty mind? Are you tired of having to worry about your thoughts and worry about what's going to come out of your mouth and worry about faux pas that you make, worry about things that you say or do, worry about mistakes that you may make with your wife, with your children, with your friends? I'm tired of it. I am tired of the corruption. People say, well, you know, some people apparently don't think they're too corrupt, but I'll tell you what, if you doubt it, the prettiest lady in here with the most perfume and the most makeup, the daintiest lady in our midst, you go 2 days without a shower and you're going to smell bad. You know why? Because we're all the same flesh. And you know why? Because you have not been redeemed. And there's coming a day that you will be redeemed. I will, where you're headed now is eventually going to land you in a cold, moist plot of ground where your body is going to go back to dust because the worms are going to eat you. And you know what? There's none of us that look forward to that. Right now, you sit in a body, and most of us are old enough to have aches and pains, and there's a lot of aches and pains in this room that are a lot worse than others. Amen? And the young people go, yeah, and some of you younger guys, you know, some of you young people have some problems too. You know, I got a 19-year-old sitting over there, and he goes, man, my shoulders are all messed up. You can't be messed up. You're only 19. Amen? But, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that I look forward to Jesus Christ coming back for is redemption. The redemption out of this corruptible flesh. The Bible says that we sit right now in the bondage of corruption. We are in the bondage of corruption. Right now you have bugs inside you. I mean, everybody sitting in here has bugs inside you that either could or will eventually kill you if your body loses the capability of fighting them off. We're all bug breeders. It's amazing. You are rotten. You're just a sewer pot.
And until Jesus Christ comes back and fixes that thing, nothing is going to be fixed. And you know the sad part is, God never intended it to be this way. When Adam and Eve messed up, they messed up far worse than they thought. Because the Lord never intended for us to have to live in this amalgamated world of corruption and with a little bit of purity found once in a while here and there. He never intended it to be that way. And I can't wait for the day. I can't wait for the day to feel the sensation of this corruptible putting on incorruption. You know, it's going to be cool that it's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. But as far as I'm concerned, he could slow it down a few thousand times. You know, I just want to sit and just kind of enjoy feeling it happen. Okay, it won't happen like that. But maybe we can slow down the tape and I can go back and enjoy it in slow motion or something. Anyway, I look forward to Jesus Christ coming back for righteousness' sake because you're surrounded by sin and iniquity. You don't know what it's like to live in a clean place. I look forward to Jesus Christ coming back for restitution's sake. I look forward to Jesus Christ getting His own and setting things right. Jesus Christ is going to come back and put justice. Buddy, He's going to make our justice system look like a, Lord, I don't even know. I'm looking forward to Jesus Christ and coming back because I'm looking forward to the redemption of not only my body, but yours. Of you being out of pain. Of you being able to put off your problems and your gripes and your concerns. All the things that plague you. You know, we all have weaknesses in different directions in some ways and all that. And you kind of fall apart this way and somebody else kind of falls apart that way. And you know, Doc and I were talking, you know, last night, you know, some of these, you know, weird, you know, stranger diseases that folks get, you know, somebody that winds up with Parkinson's, you know, that thing tears you up because you are, you know, physically, you are completely shot and you're blank, but inside, you're you, and you're a prisoner in that thing. Now, with Alzheimer's, you know, you look fine outside, and physically, you can still be, you know, virile and all those things. But inside, that's weird. But you know all that is? All that is the way you sinfully break apart because you're fallen. And that's how sin works in the genome. It's how it works in the flesh. It's how it works in the body. And if it's not that, it'll be cancer, or it'll be multiple sclerosis, or it'll be this, or it'll be that, or it'll be the other. I'm looking forward to being rid of that stuff. You ever think about how you're going to die? I do. Once in a while. I mean, how do you think you're going to die? That's a joke. Somebody said, I want to die like my grandfather, asleep, rather than screaming like the rest of the people in the car with him. But, you know, we mortal, man, we have to, once in a while, I wonder how I'm going to die. You realize, folks, it's possible that there may be an event happen, and it'll never cross your mind again how you're going to die, because you're never going to die. Won't that be something? I want to say something else. I want to say that I look forward to Jesus Christ coming back for the sake of rest. The Bible says that there is a rest in Jesus Christ, and the Bible says that the Lord's rest is the millennium. We get raptured out of here, and there's a few things that happen, but that's the next 1,000 years for us, man. We go into the millennium and work for Jesus Christ, right? Well, the Bible says that that's a rest. And I've been sitting here talking, you know, all night about being tired. I'm tired of this and I'm tired of that. And you could probably add some more gripes on top of it. And you're tired of this and you're tired of that. I mean, I'm saved and I found rest in Jesus Christ spiritually. But there's a bunch of stuff that I'm still tired of. And I'm looking forward to be able to putting off those burdens. I am tired, like I said, and I've talked about it before already tonight, but, you know, I'm tired from sin. I enjoy the Christian life, and, you know, the first, after I got right with the Lord, I have to say that, you know, the first year, man, after I got right with the Lord, the Christian life was exciting. And you know what it is now? Don't get me wrong. I like what I do. In fact, I love what I do. And this is the only job I've ever had that I enjoy. And it's not really a job. You know what I'm saying? So don't freak out on me or anything. But the Christian life's a drag. You know why? Because life's a drag. I don't know what I think about these people. Oh, I love what I do. I live for what I do. Oh, shut up. I haven't known many people like that, and I personally think they're all insane. But you know what I think? I think the Christian life's a drag. You know? Because, again, there's the presence of sin. There's the presence of the old nature. There's all those things that constantly go on that you always have to battle, that you always have to fight. Now, don't you find sometimes that life gets weary? Don't you have things that you can't stand to do that you have to do every day? You know what I've hated for years? Putting on my socks. It seems like such a stupid waste. You get up in the morning and go, I don't want to put on my socks. But my feet are cold, so I have to. You know what else I hate? You know, I do this 3 or 4 times a day, but you know what? I hate brushing my teeth. It's not that it's that unpleasant an experience, but it's a waste of time. I just sit there and look like an idiot, you know. There's, I don't know, I've never confessed this to anybody before, but there's just, don't you find there are some things in life that are just a stinking drag? One of these days, you ain't going to have to worry about brushing your teeth anymore. You ain't going to have to worry about putting on your socks. Not going to have to worry about, personal hygiene, all that kind of thing, you know. You're not going to have to worry about when you're going to get a haircut and trying to fit it into your schedule and this, that, and the other. I get tired from the conflict of the battle. I get tired of the constant uphill climb. You ever take a vacation and get back and you're tired than when you left? It's not supposed to work that way. But, you know, it is. It does work that way because, you know what? Life is wearying. And the Christian life is maybe even more wearying. And there are times, there's some invigorating times, man. There's some victories and, you know, you get a charge and you go on and all. But it's a constant battle to go on, you'll have to admit. You know what, brother? One day, you won't need another charge. One day, there will be no need for you to have to set forth any effort to charge yourself up. You'll never have to fast again for a revival. You'll never need a revival. You'll be living one all the time. I look forward to that. I look forward to that day. I tell you what else I'm looking for. Not only righteousness, restitution, redemption, and rest. I'm looking forward to a reunion. Now, you know what? I don't want to bring any tears in anybody's eyes because I know that some of you here, you know, probably have loved ones that are gone and they weren't saved. Maybe they were dead before you got saved, and so maybe you never even had a chance. So I'm not trying to bring up ill memories. But nevertheless, for some of us here, there are people that are gone that we haven't seen now for years and years, and one day we're going to get to see them again. Now, I'm not terribly nostalgic about some things, but folks, Now, I never told you this. Maybe I did, but I don't remember mentioning it in some time. I told you that I got saved when I was 10 years old, right? And one of the things that happened at that youth camp where I got saved was that, you know, after I got saved and all that, one of the things that they laid on us real heavy as a responsibility is to go back to school the next week and to make sure and witness to somebody. Well, you know, I took it really seriously. And so I went back to a school. I was in the fourth grade. I went back to school and witnessed to a little girl named Cindy Parker, and one of my classmates. And Cindy Parker bowed her head, and I really honestly think she got saved. First person I ever witnessed to. Now, after that, I got to tell you, I didn't do anything for the next 10 years of my Christian life. But, nevertheless, I went back the next week and witnessed to Cindy Parker. As far as I know, she got saved. This is the fourth grade. In the sixth grade, Cindy Parker was riding down the road on a Honda Trail 50 and crossed the road into her grandparents' driveway and didn't look back, and a car hit her and smeared her across 100 feet of the roadway, killed her. I'll never forget that my mom and dad and I were going into the town later that day after we got news and so on. And as we drove by that house, the grandfather was in the middle of the road with a bucket and soap and a mop and a broom, scrubbing the road of that little girl's blood. Now, you know what? I'm going to see Cindy Parker someday. It's going to be somebody that I led to the Lord within a week of getting saved myself. My mother and father are in heaven. I have two grandfathers in heaven and a grandmother in heaven and one grandmother still living. I have great-grandmothers and great-grandfathers, you know, in heaven. There are people that I've witnessed to and won to the Lord since, you know, being right with the Lord that are dead and gone. There's an old man that helped us start church here. His name was Barney Riley. He went on to be with the Lord about 10 years ago. It's been 10 years since I saw him. That old man was a blessing. There was another guy named Dave Touton who got killed in a car accident way back in 1988 or 1989, sometime in there. And he was a soul winner and a good guy. And you know what? He's waiting on the other side. Now, like I said, I don't know how many people you have waiting on the other side for a reunion with. I don't know how many you have. But I know this, there's Jesus Christ over there. Okay? Now listen, these folks that went back to Jerusalem so joyous, I mean, they loved Jesus Christ anyway, but you realize that those people spent the rest of their lives preaching a gospel about this guy with the blessed hope that they would someday see him come back for them. I mean, they firmly hoped and believed that. Now, that's not just a regular guy. I mean, somebody that can live life. I you know, like I said, my mom and dad are both gone, and I'm looking forward to seeing them, but I don't think about it that much. It's not like the rest of my life is lived for the purpose of seeing my mama and daddy again. It's not like that, but it's like that with Jesus Christ. Now listen, folks, one of these days, you're going to talk about a reunion. You're going to go get to see your Savior face to face for the first time. That's going to be, you know what? Did you ever see one of those rapture movies? And sometimes the acting's really bad and all that kind of thing. But I don't know, there's just something about, I'm not talking about the Left Behind things so much as the old time, you know, ones that were really bad acting and really bad cinematography. And there was one in particular I remember, you know, people going through the tribulation or everything. And all I remember is that the screams were really bad. You know, there's just always this girl that was going, rah! You know, whatever. But you ever, you know, see those movies and then, but whatever else is the case, that they at least, I guess 2 hours of being subjected to it, it at least made you start thinking about it so much that for the next couple of days you were thinking about the rapture. Do you ever have a dream that you got raptured, only to wake up and learn you didn't? Were you disappointed? You know what, folks? One of these days, you're going to see Jesus Christ for the first time. And listen, you know, we used to have family reunions down south, and I've learned now that up north, family reunions are just as big a deal. But you know, we used to have big family reunions down south, and you know, big fish fries, and you know, all that kind of thing. And there's everybody from the four winds that have come in and all that kind of stuff. Folks, you realize that there's coming a day that you're gonna go to heaven and the family's going to be together. And you're going to see everybody there from Adam and Seth and Abraham and Moses and Elijah and Samuel and Isaiah and Jeremiah all the way up through the apostles and prophets, all the way up through those old-time Montanists and Paulicans and Waldensians, and then the Wesley brothers and Spurgeon. All these people are going to be sitting around talking, slapping each other on the back. That's going to be a wild thing. I mean, that's, you talk, brother, you talk about having a fish fry. I don't know what kind of fish it's going to be, but I wonder if they're going to fry that fish in trans fatty oil. I don't know. You know what I mean? I mean, folks, one of these days, you talk about a reunion. Okay, there's something else that I have to add to it. Not only righteousness, not only restitution, not only redemption, not only rest, not only reunion. But you know what I'm looking for? Forward to. You know what I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to the ride. Now, I can't leave that out. Carlson's wife, I thought it was Carlson that wanted to, but what I learned was that it was Carlson's wife that wanted to go to the Mall of America. And what she wanted to go to the Mall of America for was to take the kids on the rides. But then I learned when I got there, it wasn't the kids she wanted to go on the rides. She wanted to go on the rides. So we went to the Mall of America, I don't know, that Thursday or Friday or whatever, and we rode the rides. And, you know, there was nobody there, so it was great. But, you know, I like the rides. I like the sensations. I'm not really scared of heights, but she called me and Carlson chickens, so we all got on the Mighty Axe. Now, I'd been on the Mighty Axe before, and I said, okay, I'm not going on the Mighty Axe again. Now, it's not that I minded that much. I don't get sick at my stomach or anything like that, but I'm sitting here, 250 pounds worth of me, locked in with this thing. And I'm supposed to trust whatever mechanism it is that holds my 250 pounds into that seat, hanging upside down with some dweeb girl down there punching buttons. I mean, really. A few years ago, we went to the big ride place. What's the name? Valley Fair. And the kids talked me into getting on, what is it, the Tower of Power, or the thing where you get in the seat and it sends you up the big tower, right? Now, you know, again, that really wasn't all that pleasant. Because, again, I'm sitting here, I don't mind the sensations. It's a real thrill. You know, they say that there is no sensation on this earth like being shot off of an aircraft carrier, that you literally go from zero to whatever at such a period of time that you actually start to gray out, that the horizons begin to close like this because it's too much for the system to take, and that there's no sensation like that in the world. Well, you know, whatever it is, that guy's at least strapped in, because, you know, I'm sitting there on this Tower of Power, whatever they call that thing. And the weird thing about this thing is you sit down on this little seat and your legs are still hanging off in nowhere, and you get shot up into the air all the way up this tower. And you know what I decided when that happened? I didn't throw up or anything, but I didn't really enjoy it all that much either. I decided that I needed a new body. If I was going to take a ride anything like that again, or any greater than that, that I do indeed need a new body. That's what I decided. And folks, I'm going to get my new body just before I take that ride. And folks, that ride's going to be worth the wait. You realize that? I mean, putting off this mortal and putting on immortality and taking off out of here. I don't know. Again, with me, you know, I want to get to heaven and see the mansion and get the judgment seat of Christ over with and all that kind of thing. But it wouldn't bother me if it took 30 minutes to get to heaven. I'm going to enjoy the ride. Now, maybe we'll get there in a nanosecond. I don't really know. But I intend to enjoy the rapture. I'm looking for Jesus, forward to Jesus Christ coming back and getting me out of here. I'm looking forward to the ride while he does it. I ain't scared of heights. I have one other thing. Last thing. I want to say one of the reasons that I'm looking forward to Jesus Christ coming back is the final realization. The realization of it. I mean, the actual moment. Think about this. You ain't seen nothing. I mean, really, what have you seen? We always talk about it. We always guard ourselves against going the other way. We walk by faith and not by sight. You've never seen nothing. You've never seen God. You've never seen Jesus Christ. What have you seen? Words on a book. Want to, I can tear the pages. What's that? Right? I'm not trying to tear down your faith. That's plain. But you ain't seen nothing. But you believe all kinds of stuff. And you're confirmed in your belief. I'm glad for that. Right? But you realize that there will come a moment when all the things that you've believed will become realized. And that your faith will, in that moment, become sight. And it'll all be there. Now, brother, you're a human being. I'll tell you what human beings like to do. They like to see. They like to be able to, you know, touch things and feel things and see things and smell things. It's not that natural for us to just believe things. And it's going to be a thrill, brother, when Jesus Christ comes back and then opens up the curtain and there it all is for you to walk in and go experience. And that's going to happen. That's going to happen. There's a really good chance that it's going to happen before you die. Oh, joy, oh, delight. Should we go without dying? No sickness, no sadness, no dread, no crying. Amen? That would be a blessing. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, we have a smile on our faces here tonight because we like to hear of the final culmination of things. And I know that it doesn't end anything for us, the rapture. I know that we go on and there are duties and responsibilities, but everything will be changed for us, Lord, because we'll no longer have a sinful nature. And all that will be changed. We'll change our residence and our address. And we'll change our very nature. We look forward to it, Father, and words really do fail. I pray you'd give folks a clear, vital vision for these matters. And Lord, for those who struggle with discouragement, and the frustrations of things not working as they want, of things being less than desirable in some cases, Lord, I pray that you'd ever hold before us the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 149. John pray, even so come Lord Jesus. I know that to some it would seem ridiculous that we should pray that after 2,000 years have passed from the first time it was prayed. But we know some things about that, Father, because of what you've shown us. And we know that your promises are as pure and as true today as ever they were. And we look forward to the culmination of things. We look forward to being perhaps a generation, Father, to see these things actually come to pass. And we look forward to it for the reasons that we've spoken of here. And mainly we look forward to it because we desire the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you'll bless our week now, and may we live in the light of the great hope. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.